A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
More like Monday Night Rad, am I right? Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of Monday Night Raw. I am Lugan, D-A-D. This is Dan Layton, your Jam That Champion of the Truth. And please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of what many are saying is an all-timer episode of Monday Night Raw, featuring what some say, perhaps this is recency bias, the greatest angle to ever close an episode of Raw.
Certainly the greatest angle to close an episode of Raw in the past 10 years.
At the very least, I would say it's probably the best angle to close out Raw in a good 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brilliant, brilliant piece of drama and an exercise in restraint. I said on Twitter that I'm going to use that word an awful lot. This episode, because when you go into writing anything, when you produce a show, when you do anything, when it's a bit of drama, you're looking for this result. You want to tease things, have discipline, not give away the goose too soon, to ultimately lead to a bit of, you know, intense drama right at the end there. I thought this was a brilliant episode of television.
Not only was it a great ending segment, Dan, it also just once again proved me right. Swearing in blood makes wrestling better. Please do leave a comment down below.
Swearing in blood makes wrestling better, but restraint makes blood and swearing better.
It just makes it better. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode. And if you're watching us live, join in our wonderful SWAF Nation and let us know what you thought of this episode.
I feel like most of these shows happen with you. Like, you know those stories of like the backyard wrestling kids who come in with a light bulb stuck in their head? That was you.
That was me. Yeah. I stole light bulbs from school. Don't do that, kids. And so that I could use them in my backyard wrestling federation.
Oh my God. It's cool because you are so disciplined to not see all the time. We'll get into it.
So I am, of course, being facetious before everyone jumps on me. Leave a comment. Join in the conversation. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out all of them above the $5 amount. And we have got a bunch of Ultra Chats on this because this was a brilliant episode of Raw, not just for the Rock and Cody stuff, which was great.
Yeah.
A superb closing angle. Like, it's a proper Attitude Era is back closing angle. Mm-hmm. I've kind of got my thoughts about like the why people think Attitude Era is back, and I think it's got nothing to do with the blood and the swearing. Because really, swearing was not part of the Attitude Era. Blood was, but swearing was not. Mm. So I've got my thoughts on why I think this is an Attitude Era back lol, and it's got nothing to do with the blood or the swearing. But you also had the CM Punk promo segments, who finally made Seth versus Drew an interesting match.
Yeah,
you had an excellent promo with Becky and Rhea, a great match with Ricochet in there as well. Everything else that was throughout the show was just done to design to get you hyped for WrestleMania. And like it was, with the exception of the Andrade match, I suppose, was the only outlier in that, as we are sort of 2 weeks out from WrestleMania.
A Raw left.
Yeah.
We have a SmackDown, two SmackDowns and a Raw.
And one of the great things about that is that, so they advertised ahead of time, CM Punk's on this show, and The Rock is on Raw in 2 weeks. So Rock is on next week's show.
Yeah.
Even on the SmackDown review, me and Sat were talking about this. Sat got the dates confused. And I was like, oh, no, it's just CM Punk that's on Raw this week.
I got the dates confused when his music hit.
Yeah, and The Rock is on next week's show. So The Rock making an unannounced appearance on this show was... Chicago went nuts for this.
Because, I mean, this was the crowd for it as well.
Because no one knew. And they shot this brilliant. So what happened was, Cody opened the show. And he came out, he puts over Pat and he puts over Cole, talking about Roman's interview with Pat McAfee.
He's in full on like rock cosplay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the worst bully in the world. And he talked about how he's going to be the best man at someone's wedding. He's going to a fifth birthday party. He's doing all of these things because that is who I am. I'm a genuine human being. I'm not doing this for clout. I'm not doing this as a character. This is who I am. And I'm doing this because I need all of you. And I'm going to apologize to The Rock and Roman Reigns for ruining their WrestleMania wank fest.
He said the word we say.
Which I thought, it was great. You know, pop me. It's PG, lol. And so he was like, if I'm going to do this, though, I need your support. Mm. I do this for you, so I'm going to need you with me. I've not really done the WrestleMania point. And the reason why is because I need you to do it with me. So I'm going to ask all of you to point to the WrestleMania sign with me. And he points, and everyone points with him. And it's lovely, and it's joyous. And then The Rock's music hits.
Woof.
And it really was genuinely like a, whoa, okay, The Rock is here.
My notes are in all caps at that point.
Genuinely, I did not expect The Rock. Well, no one did. They didn't advertise it ahead of time. I've said my piece about this on the SmackDown podcast. I thought that the Roman Cody face-off was pretty pedestrian. Like it was, neither of them said anything new to the conversation.
I was underwhelmed by it, which was, you know, given that I was super hype for it. I was, and I liked the Avengers Assemble moment. I liked the line at the beginning saying, you know, if you're a man of your word, I'm a man of mine, kind of thing, knowing full well that Roman was never going to be a man of his word.
He's a smart babyface.
Yeah, and I liked the visuals of that, but the segment itself I thought underdelivered a little bit. So it was nice, and I was already in the mode of this is a good promo. I really liked the crowd work that Cody was getting. There was a lot, you know, getting the Rocky Sucks chants already, and then getting specifically a Roman Sucks chant from the crowd. Chicago are an intense crowd anyway. I was a little bit afraid that I was hearing some boos for Cody, and I was like, uh-oh, are we already turning on him? Is that what the decision has been? And actually, it really felt like he was able to get them on side and be a part of it. Getting a Roman Sucks chant when Roman has felt like a tertiary part of this story was a really good sign for me that I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're bought into all of this kind of thing. So then when The Rock's music hits, I'm leaning forward. I'm like, well, hang on, what's happening now?
I have been the guy that's been on the defensive of Roman feels like the third wheel. Because I've been the guy that defended me. Like, no, it's by design. Like, so The Rock is purposefully overshadowing Roman Reigns. That is the point. He's supposed to be overshadowing him because he's going to build to Roman versus Rock down the line. But I, you know, from the segment on SmackDown, I was like, Roman does feel like the third wheel a little bit in this. I want to see Cody versus Rock at this point more than I want to see Roman versus Cody. And this kind of episode kind of solidified that a little bit. But The Rock comes out and they have this awesome shot, much pared down screen, like a big stage for this because they can sell more tickets that way. So it's just kind of this very small LED board, which I think looks so much better. It's less garish.
Intimate in a way.
Yeah.
I've always liked when Raw feels like we're all involved.
But they have this shot, so it's facing the ramp. Jesus. So you've got Cody in the ring, and you've got the Rock's Titantron that is just all this lightning and stuff. And the way that the lightning is on the screen and the Rock walking out in the distance, it legit looks like that moment when Thanos walks out in Infinity War when he arrives in Wakanda.
It does look like
that. That is the moment that it looked like. And it was so cool and awesome. And he walks down, the crowd are chanting Holy S. He doesn't say a word. He just whispers something in Cody's ear. Lovely little callback to how this all started. And then he leaves. And the crowd boo The Rock because he didn't do a promo. Boo, boo, boo. And away he walks. And he walks backstage and Jackie wants to have an interview with The Rock. It's like, what did you say to Cody? And he's like, Rock's not going to tell you what I said. If you want to know what I said, you can ask Cody yourself. A little bit of hook and tease there.
And gave me the indication that this was going to be an all-night thing. And one of the things I love is all-night. So did you know what Rock said to Cody? I did lip reading.
Yeah. What's it going to? I'm going to make you bleed tonight.
He literally just leant forward and said, hey, I'm going to make you bleed.
Yeah.
And then left.
That's it. Yeah.
Which would make me go, oh, hang on, that feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then later on, Jackie interviewed Cody, and Cody said, well, I'm not going to repeat what Rock said. I'm quite happy to say wankfest on TV, but I will not repeat the words that The Rock said. But he has made a promise that he cannot keep. Boy, was Cody wrong. Because the main event of the show was Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura. not much of a match. Like, yeah. You know, the comparisons to the Attitude Era, I said this in my edited review, but in the Attitude Era, particularly on TV, wrestling takes a back seat. Mm-hmm. And this is a main event that felt like wrestling was taking a back seat to the angles.
Yeah, it's the. I mean, as I've said before, for me, wrestling is all part of wrestling. Wrestling is storytelling as well as the physical, what goes on between the belts. I need both of those things. But in terms of television narrative, when it gets to a big show, the wrestling is the main focus. All roads have led to here.
Of course.
On weekly episodic television, there needs to be a balance of both, and especially in the lead up to WrestleMania, when you're trying to, I suppose, keep your stars from getting injured too soon, the storylines take the step forward, seat. Yeah.
I took a few shots last week because I said I wanted wrestling on my wrestling show, which I stand by. My point on that was that I like a balance, because last week was very promo heavy and the wrestling just took a far of a back seat. This week you got a great match with Ricochet, so that's kind of like, that's your wrestling fill. I thought SmackDown did a really good job of balancing it, because like, okay, we're gonna have a 20-minute Roman Cody segment at the end, so let's just stack the first hour 20 with wrestling.
Well, that's also all about plotting your time when you've got a television show and you've got you need to figure out how to get I think balance is key. Balance is crucial. I sometimes find myself, I'm really enjoying all of this wrestling, but I'm lacking a bit of storyline. I'm lacking, it's a little bit of both. And you kind of have to have a broad church at a certain point.
Yeah, I'd also argue as well that a good wrestling match has a story in there. That is part and parcel of a wrestling
match. You know that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't saying that's what you were saying. It was the argument that was like, wrestling doesn't draw. But anyway, so the wrestling here was totally fine, and Jey Uso got the win. Jimmy and Solo had come out during the match. Seth and Cody ran down and brawled with them. Drew McIntyre ran down and brawled with Seth. And Cody brawls to the back with Jimmy and Solo. So when Jey won, I looked at the clock, I was like, oh, there's still 10 minutes of this show left, so we're going to get a big angle here. And Cody is brawling with them, and he gets attacked by The Rock from behind. Just great, The Rock getting physical. Like, instantly, like, number one, Rock's getting physical. That's awesome. Because previously, as you mentioned last week, this has only been two slaps. Mm-hmm. That is all the physicality that this feud has had, is just two slaps, which I love.
Restraint.
So Rock is there beating the tar out of him, and he's beating him up around, like, and it takes him outside, and it's pouring rain, beating him up in the rain, leaving him in puddles and stuff. And he's beating him up, and he's cutting this promo the whole time, calling him boy and talking like a kind
piece of trash, like full Rock. Yeah.
Cutting a promo on his mum and being like, Mama Rhodes, this is your boy right here. This is your boy. Look what I'm doing to your boy. And he busts him open. And Cody comes up, and he's got blood pouring down his face. And he looks like the big wounded hero. At one point, I thought he was going to throw him off like that.
I did too.
I thought they were going to do a big like crash mat below, and they were going to do the big like throwing off the edge of something. Yeah. Like, you know, like Money in the Bank 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, throw him off the edge. There was a smaller ledge underneath. But they didn't. He just beat him up. He kept throwing him into his American Nightmare bus over and over again. And he then says, I made a promise to Mama Rhodes, and this is what's going to happen. Takes off his weight belt. It's got Mama Rhodes written on it. I said I was going to have your son's blood on this weight belt, and I was going to have your tears. And so he grabs his hand, and he wipes his hand over Cody's face and smears the blood on his weight belt and says, this is what happens when you F with the final boss. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he did the full-on swear, censoring up and down this show, because obviously Cody's doing swearing, Punk's doing swearing.
That seven-second delay really helped.
Yeah, and then The Rock's doing swearing. And his final line was, it didn't have to be this way. Now it's the only way. I thought this was a great angle to end off this show. And that really did sort of feel like a response to how pedestrian SmackDown was. Because this like kicked this into a whole nother gear.
Yeah, I mean, this is the crucial... next week is the go-home episode of Raw before WrestleMania. We are in the final stretch here. Like, this is where they need to. I've sort of mentioned a lot, there's time for things to heat up, and I thought elsewhere on the show other things were heating up. Developments really started to lean. Sammy and Chad is what I'm thinking of, that really sort of, like, interested me. We're in the final stretch. This is where they need to take full advantage and make these moments hit, so that we're frothing at the mouth to buy this show. And this was something that I think achieved that spectacularly. And it really was all about the aura, I suppose, of it, the atmosphere, the rain, which was making Cody's sharp suit just drenched. He was absolutely drenched. And yet, weirdly, it looked like The Rock was impervious to the rain. It didn't look like he didn't even get a drop on him, which gave its own sort of little enigma to it. The feeling like he's maybe going to scrape his head across the... I had unfortunately seen Cody bloody, so I knew this was coming, but I didn't know how or where it was going to go down. Would I have loved for Cody's head to go through a window on the bus? Yes, I absolutely would have. I think that would have taken it over the hurdle for
With
me.
Real glass?
Hey.
I mean, Punk was there. So
Cry Me a River. Maybe but yeah, I did something like that just to make it that extra little bit vicious. But even so, the sight of blood on Raw going through the blonde, which was always the Ric Flair thing, you know, I think it's such a striking visual. The Rock trash talking, throwing and launching trash cans at him. Mm-hmm. Just as you said, The Rock getting physical. It really was this exercise in restraint, because if you don't show me blood every single week, if you don't show me blood every single month, like it's rare to see blood on Raw. Specifically,
that one never happens
in this. On WWE programming.
Yeah,
it's rare, and as a result, it hits harder. That shot of Cody's head in Rock's hands hit that little bit harder. Him smearing the blood, maybe uncomfortable because it's not something that's used all the time. The conversation about The Rock and swearing has been absolutely fascinating to me, because the idea that, like, I said this on one of our Patreon calls yesterday, but I'm gonna do a swear mod, mother, I'm warning you now, but the idea that the word f*** is what's gonna get Karrion Kross over, no, because if you're a A-level drama student who's learned that you can suddenly swear all the time and you put it in every single one of your drama pieces, the temptation is there because it makes you seem edgy and adult and whatever. But we don't hear it all the time. We don't hear curse words. We don't hear that level of aggressive language, so that when we do hear it, The Rock's foul mouth is that much more effective. It's all that we hadn't seen anything other than a slap. You know, a slap from each of them. They're one apiece. So when The Rock comes out of nowhere and I heard his Rock punch noise, I was like, oh my God, we're in the, like, I'm watching already a dynamic brawl backstage between Cody and Solo, and there's a match I want to see again. But suddenly The Rock's here and The Rock is part of this beatdown. Oh my God. Like, and you know, we've seen The Rock do a rock bottom on Jinder, but we haven't seen Hollywood Rock get physical in 21 years. This was when you are cautious, when you hold back a little bit, and then you finally give it, this is what happens.
That's what you have with 7 weeks of build.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't do all of it. And this is what we were talking about last week. And I'd said that on paper, you could make the argument that the build to WrestleMania has been lame, because it's just been Cody cuts a promo on Raw, on SmackDown, The Rock cuts a promo. Cody cuts a promo on Raw, on SmackDown, Rock cuts a promo. And it's just like, it is like, in my GM terms, you are just doing call-out promos. Mm-hmm. Like, that is all it is. But because they've always found new wrinkles to those promos to be like, this one services this one, and then this one services this one. It builds and it builds and it builds and it builds, and it gives you a moment like this. Now, next week, Roman and The Rock are advertised for Raw.
Mm.
So they're both going to be on the go-home edition.
And that's Cody's show.
That's Cody's show. It's so like next week now. It's like, man, if you saw this week, if this is just what Rock's going to do, you've got to watch next week, because Roman and The Rock are going to be on the same show.
And how is Cody going to fight back? Because Cody's someone whose whole character is about respectability and about being honorable and noble. And if you're Ned Stark, you know where that gets you. So the idea, I know there are some people online who are sort of like, well, why didn't he fight back or whatever, but it needed to be taken at...
And if he just fights back, then what does that achieve?
Yeah.
Like, you need to do the beat down. You need to have the down before you can have the up.
Exactly. And the guy's bleeding. Like, let's just, like, that's why that a window shot would have been the one thing that would have made those people online shut up. But those people online weren't going to shut up anyway.
Of course,
like,
they
so it's it
those
was,
people are never going to be pleased.
Yeah,
like, we are in like a period of time where everything is firing on all cylinders in both WWE and AEW. But there are people with AEW avatars that are just saying that WWE is bad, and people with WWE avatars that are saying AEW is bad. Like, those people are never going to be satisfied.
Aren't you glad the Monday Night War didn't have Twitter? Like, they would have been insufferable.
Well, well, I mean, it's been the same as it is now.
Yeah, well, I suppose but yeah, I just loved everything about this whole segment, and the fact that it fed throughout the show, even when Seth comes up and is like, to your point of the main event was just kind of a match that didn't need to happen. I agree that it was just a match that was there, but it was like it was like a prologue. It was like a trap. Seth coming up to Jay just before he goes out of space. I've got a weird feeling about tonight, kind of thing. We'd already seen Jay and Solo were there.
Jimmy and Solo.
That one. They look the same. So, except for Jay, the one with the mullet. That's how I need to, yeah. And Jimmy's the one who smiles.
Well, Jimmy says no as well.
Jimmy says no, yeet. Yeah. He absolutely does do that. But yeah, they the teasing, the feeding of that all being there was, I think it was like laying a trap. And that whole idea that Cody's a fool, like the Roman was saying on SmackDown, you're a fool. Like, you fall into these things all the time. But he hadn't that time, except he didn't expect The Rock to show up this week. And he didn't expect, none of us expected The Rock to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is a really excellent through line of this whole episode.
So here is where my comparisons to the Attitude Era come in.
Ooh.
And as I said earlier, I don't think it's got anything to do with the blood. I don't think it's got anything to do with the swearing.
Mm.
What people remember the Attitude Era for, stars.
Mm-hmm.
And this segment was the biggest stars.
Mm.
It was the biggest heel in the company, taking on the biggest baby face and leaving the biggest baby face in a pool of his own blood. It was star on star. And then you look up and down the show, and that's what I kept feeling when I was watching this show. I was like, CM Punk comes out, he's a star. Drew McIntyre comes out, he's a star. Seth Rollins comes out, he's a star. And all three of them then have a magic segment because it's stars. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley have their promo segment. Becky is a star. Rhea is a star. Dom is a star in his own right. So the three of them work their magic together and make you feel important. And then you've got Gunther comes out and he feels like a star. And you've got star presence on the show. So when you have that main event segment that's got, Jay and Shinsuke Nakamura don't exactly feel like top level dudes, but you've got stars brawling around them. Seth is a star. Drew's a star. And you've got like, and then The Rock and Cody. And it's star power. That's what the Attitude Era had. Attitude Era
and
had
everyone being involved in everyone else's things, like the thread.
The Attitude Era, like, the wrestling was not the best,
but
that was fine because wrestling took a backseat to star power, and the star power carried a lot of those wrestling matches into being some of the best you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
And the TV shows, wrestling didn't matter up and down the card. It was 2-minute matches with DQ finishes, yada, 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 but the star power was there. In the main event scene, in the mid-card scene, everyone felt like they were over. And WWE at the moment, everyone feels over.
Mm.
And that's why I feel that this is the Attitude Era back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe. And we haven't had, and it's why Attitude Era stands head and shoulders above Ruthless Aggression and PG and reality eras, because no one really felt like they were stars. There were a couple of people. John Cena was a star.
Yeah.
But Evan Bourne, and like you could run up and down the card, like in 2014, everyone is just down here, and then there's Cena up here.
Mm.
Everyone now just feels hugely over, and that's why it feels like the Attitude Era to me, and that's why this felt like an Attitude Era closing to a show, because it just had the star power.
I think it's very well put. I completely agree. Yeah, it's all about making your audience want to see, making them want to know what's going to happen next. The idea that, as I say, the through line narrative, for so long I felt like Raw in particular, but all WWE television really, has been, I'm here, now I've had my segment, I'm not on television again. I'm here, now I have my mind. And like, everyone has a little Ziploc bag. It's like meal prep for a television show. Everyone has their separate like buckets that they get to sit in, and then they get pulled out to be played with. Here, the idea that all of these things are coming into one, that the bloodline is this threat that covers the whole thing, the idea that The Rock is someone who sits on the board of directors, the idea that Seth is also a world champion but cares just as much about that other belt meaning something because that makes his belt mean something, kind of thing. That's his internal logic, whether or not you agree with it. Like, one agrees with it, to be clear. But it all mattering. It all matters. And it matters to the people who are at the top, who I'm supposed to buy into.
Yeah. The other argument that, you know, we kind of touched upon this earlier of this just feels like I want to see Rock versus Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're seeing that.
Yeah.
That's happening at WrestleMania. It's not like that match is not happening.
No.
We are seeing Rock versus Cody at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. This is all there to build that tag match. And that tag match is then used to build Roman versus Cody. Granted, I agree wholeheartedly that I think that they need to do more to heat up Roman versus Cody, because at the moment that does not feel like the most important match at WrestleMania when it should do. Cody winning the belt feels like the most important thing at WrestleMania, the match does not.
If you see I completely see what you mean. I think a part of that is the fact that Roman's not been on television as much as The Rock. The Rock's been there.
The Rock's been like almost every single show.
Yeah, and it's like he wasn't on SmackDown this week, but he was on Raw.
He was on Raw.
So like that was a plot twist. Like you do, and this is the point of being present. You do need to be present to make me care about you. You do need, and Roman has a unique skill. When he did that that 40-minute segment where he was throwing a strop, and then The Rock came out and had a big promo. He was doing some incredible work. Like he'd maybe phoned it in a little bit, I felt, during the Crown Jewel build or during even the Rumble build. Here, he absolutely didn't in those segments. But when you're not there all the time, it does become a story about Cody and the guy who is there all the time, the one who's making the most compelling arguments. So, you know, I hope that they use these next three episodes of television to really emphasize what that is. And then almost the entire of Sunday, online, on the show, to make that match feel 100%. Special. And it's why I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, they're already fantasy booking ways that Cody loses and all this stuff, so where's the drama, whatever. I'm desperate for Cody Rhodes to win that belt. And part of the reason I'm desperate for Cody Rhodes to win that belt is because I want something new for the Roman Reigns character. Yeah. I think Roman Reigns as this character has done everything. The belt is no longer serving the character, and the character is no longer serving the belt. We need to see what happens with all of these people in a new evolution. That's why I think people are so excited.
I agree with you, because I feel like at this point, the belt is just a number.
Yeah. Yes.
It is just a number of how many days he has had it, as opposed to being like, this is making your character.
And I always go back to Mick Foley's promo he did years and years ago to CM Punk. You want a number? 29. That's the cumulative number of days I held the belt. I'm a legend. Do you want to be a number? Do you want to be a legend? And yeah. I think getting past the number and into... I mean, and we'll talk about it when we get to Gunther as well, but winning and losing and titles, that we need to believe that there's peril. And I now believe there's peril for Roman Reigns, and I'm excited about it.
One last thing to say on the segment is, and I believe this had been pointed out a lot online, is the production trucks that were there had Austin and Cena on there. Now, people are like, is it by design? And we've been saying for a while, everything that The Rock is doing is so scripted. Like, so the L that he does is by design. Like, he is doing this for a reason, because it is there to set up something that will happen down the line. But I thought, it's just a production chuck. It is a coincidence.
Trolling.
However, WrestleVotes tweeted, everything is done on purpose.
Yes, I've seen this.
2 weeks out from WrestleMania, the backdrop to these WrestleMania-specific trucks last night would have sufficed. I'll leave it at that.
And it is a picture of the production trucks with the WrestleMania branding.
Exactly. So at the moment, they are going to town with the WrestleMania production trucks. So they've got Flair and Drew and Seth and Jimmy and Logan Paul. And they've got all the current stars. The truck that they had at last night's show specifically was chosen to have Austin and Cena on it.
Now, if I may.
Please do. And that ties into the Wrestling Observer report from Friday, which is Austin and Cena are in discussions to be involved at WrestleMania along with Undertaker.
Now, I was there in November when people were doing GTSs on screen, and someone was saying best in the world, and people kept dropping, is that a CM Punk reference? Is that a CM Punk reference? I was there in November, and none of it was a CM Punk reference. I was also there in November.
Nakamura was calling him out.
I was also there in November when CM Punk came back. So, hey, look, that could just be the funniest coincidence. That could be them trolling the ever-living life out of us. Mm-hmm. Or it could be an Easter egg hinting at what may be a piece of, honestly, in my head, glorious chaos booking for the finality. WrestleMania 14 energy. This has WrestleMania 14 energy. Do you know, like, the idea of a crowning
a bad show.
Maybe crowning a new person. Yeah, you know, that's what I mean. That image that you have of Austin with the belt in the air. Look, I mean, it might not happen. It might happen either way. That tickled me very much.
I would have just put it down to coincidence had it not been for WrestleVotes.
Well,
who are a very reliable source.
Well, but also, like, nothing. You're right. Nothing is by coincidence. Like, if they see that and go, oh, we don't really want to put that over. Do you want to move that specific truck? They've got the keys. It's their company. Yeah. Like, they've but planned
the
segment.
But also, they might have thought, like, well, no one's going to pick up on this as being a thing. But, you know, the internet is the way the internet is. So, obviously, not obviously, but perhaps done by design. Mm. Very interesting. I was saying to you yesterday, we're doing our Patreon calls for our $100 backers. And I am like fully on board for this. Overbook the schmoz out of this main event.
I've come around.
Music hit, music hit, music hit, music hit. Pop upon pop upon pop upon pop.
I have been more reticent because I want people to buy into the purity of the moment. I want it to be, you know, you're on your own now, Roman. There's no bloodline around you. One-on-one, I'm the better man. That's kind of, and then Cody's victory is not tainted in any way by shenanigans. And then the more I've thought about it, and the more I've pictured these moments, and the more I can hear that, I remember Mankind, to bring McFoley up again, winning that belt.
Yeah, it was January 4th.
It put a lot of butts in seats because it was someone people really liked. It was a real moment for them. The glass smashing, it was all the stars. DX were around the ring, the Rock's there, the corporation. Oh, do you know what? Sod it.
It's like, you know, there's like 20 people like in that moment.
Look, as long as nobody... I mean, maybe someone can hit Roman. I don't know. It's wrestling. It's WWE.
He's like, you do a double down and then you just do pop, 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 pop.
Oh my
music
God.
Music hits, music hits, music hits. Everyone comes down. Everyone does their spots. Everyone brawls away and you're just left with Cody and Roman.
I mean, it could just be... It has the potential to be something magic that will live on for literally the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It also has the potential to be so underwhelming. So I'm tempering it, my own expectations when I say that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, let's get into your Ultra Chats on this subject. We have got a bunch of these because people are very, very excited about this episode.
It was a big show.
And this angle in particular. Wrestletalk.com/support. Ben here said, as great as it was, it truly was. Who the hell is main eventing night two? Cody versus, what was his name? Luther Reigns or something? Hey, Rock, should we build Roman versus Cody? Nah, not going to work for me, brother. As a result, I could not give a two craps about him. Main event night one, Cody versus Rock. Mid-card champion and Rock's cousin? I guess they'll be there too. They have 2 weeks left to make me care about Reigns because after the meh segment on SmackDown, Rock versus Cody is boiling hot while Cody versus Roman is ice cold.
I don't think ice cold because Cody is part of it. I think Cody's bringing some of the heat. Now, if in this in this sink, perhaps Roman is the cold water. I don't know. But the fact that at the beginning of the show there was a big Roman sucks chant shows that there is going to be a vocal presence of the crowd to be part engaging with Roman. But I do think they do need to do some heavy lifting and he needs to pull his own weight.
But hey, we've got Raw next week. And I don't know if he's also on SmackDown, but, you know, we've got Raw next week.
Yeah.
They're both there. Cody will be there. Seth will be there.
Drew will be there.
They'll be on SmackDown as well, on that final SmackDown.
Yeah.
They'll be there. Ryan Marshall said, I was at Raw for my first live show since a Nitro in 1998 as a 14-year-old. The crowd was electric all night. We had a two-hour drive back through a storm, so we left with 10 minutes left because the place was packed to the rafters and it was a tough exit. So I finally get home to midnight, close to midnight, local time, and open up socials. First thing to pop up is The Rock hammering on Cody and driving the censors wild. My brother-in-law said as we were leaving, hey, at least we won't miss a Rock segment. So, long story short, probably should have been fine getting home around 1:30 a.m. We literally heard them fighting since it was right by where we were parked.
Oh my god.
I just thought someone dropped something. Just an all-time screw-up by me.
That's crushing. Look, as a Man United fan, you never leave before the final whistle. Something will always happen.
Kevin, one of the best episodes of Raw I've ever seen. Rock versus Cody, Rock and Cody, Drew, Seth, Punk, Becky, Rhea got me hyped for Mania. Also, next week's episode of Raw. I hope WWE can maintain this level of hype after WrestleMania. Next week, we need Black Hoodie Cody to go rogue.
Interesting.
Eddie J, night one will be Avengers Infinity War with the giant bald villain prevailing, and night two will be Endgame with the heroes finally triumphing. Triumphing. They gave us a spoiler for who's coming through the portals on the trailers during Cody's beatdown.
On your left.
Will Campbell, who we were speaking to yesterday on Patreon, said, hi guys, first off, thanks for the nice chat yesterday. Secondly, holy hell, what a closing angle. It's one of those things that makes you feel viscerally uncomfortable, but in a good way, because it's so spellbinding at the same time, you can't help but watch. I think Will was actually the person we were talking specifically about
the
January 4th Mankind winning. And that's where I was like, everyone runs down.
I think also to the point of it being viscerally uncomfortable, these things need to be. And if they happen, that's what I mean. If they happen all the time, it doesn't get that natural response from you where you're like, oh my God, I can't. Like, you know, that's not, to be abundantly clear, that's not me advocating for 42 weeks of boring television just for the lead up to WrestleMania being amazing. But, you know, when you exercise discipline and restraint, stuff like this can happen.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I can be a little bit glib, put on my little like Captain Cynical hat for
not
a second,
you. Never.
Then it's
never
like,
you.
I go back to this 2019 interviews where Triple H was like, oh, we don't need that blood and guts. We don't need blood. We don't need swearing on our shows to be amazing. And now like they're putting on the best shows that they have done and it's filled with swearing now blood.
And I disagreed with him then at the time. I don't think you need blood and I don't think anyone needs guts. I don't think you need...
Well, AEW doesn't have guts either.
Hey, they have a match literally called Blood and... I'm joking. You don't need blood and guts every single week. But it's a good tool to use to sell a moment.
Because I think blood improves wrestling.
I think
I was playing through Showcase mode. And I was doing Rock versus Austin, WrestleMania X7. And both of them with blood pouring down their face. And I'm like, this is the best thing ever.
No, and I watched that match recently. And I agree. And I think the reason that I feel it is because it was the main event. If you're bleeding every single match. I go back to the same thing when you go to an indie show and you see a Canadian destroy every match. Or you see the arm fest. My first time I'm seeing that, I'm like, this is great. The second time I see it, I'm like, oh, okay. And if I see every single match, by the time we get to the main event, the blood has lost all meaning.
It's agenting.
It is. When you use discipline, you should be using these tools properly.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't never use blood. You should use it wisely. And that's what we saw last night.
I think what's incredible about the blood is the reason why they haven't done blood on TV for so long is Mattel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a family product. Mm. And so they want a squeaky, clean image. I remember when Joe and Balor had their match in NXT, and I think Joe gets busted open just above his eye. It was by accident. You know, he just got cut open hard way. And the match just has to stop while they're sorting out. And Joe is pissed off because he just wants to wrestle and just carry on the match. And they have to keep stopping it to put more goals. And the crowd are booing it.
Mm.
And the crowd are there going, and the crowd started chanting FPG. Remember Dave Meltzer being like, it's not PG that's stopping them.
No.
It's Mattel that's stopping them. And like them being TV PG is, it's not law. It is guidance for your viewers. You can do whatever
They're
you
on
want.
At 11 p.m.
You can do whatever you want as a TV PG thing. Mm. You just then have to deal with the repercussions that you have told your audience this is TV PG and you've done something that's TV MA.
Mm-hmm. Also, it is just a case of corporate people, you know, wringing their hands and not necessarily getting what the people that they like. Go and read Mick Foley's Folly is Good. Like, go and read that entire chapter about the PTC and the hypocrisy of it all. Like,
of course,
what you see on a random episode of like the NFL even, or what you see. It's a sport. It's a contact sport.
It's a contact sport. Yeah. It's why Right Censor are one of the greatest factions in WWE history. Noshua 4 said, hi, lad. The brutal beatdown at the end of Raw is something I wasn't expecting at all. Do you think we see a retaliation strike on SmackDown, perhaps? Also, I'm loving the Monday Night War. Rooting for you to take home the gold. Luke, jam that jam. Thank you very much.
No.
You don't think there'll be a retaliation on SmackDown?
No, I don't think you're going to take home the gold.
Oh, I probably won't. Jinder's 30k ball out, speaking of the Monday Night War. Big fan of you guys and all your hard work. The placement of the Cena Austin trailer seems like foreshadowing the coincidence, or maybe I'm trying hard to manifest it into existence. Just saying. Andy Madrid, hello from San Diego. Mania this year is so weird. I want Rock and Roman to win night one almost as much as I want Cody to win night two. Remember when The Rock used to come back and it was blah, 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 rock bottom segments? I'm so happy that's over. I think we were talking about that last week, that The Rock coming
really
back.
Bum.
Yeah, it was just like it would. I mean, we don't even have to look back that far.
Nope.
It happened on 1st of January.
Yeah, literally this year.
It literally happened this year. Yeah. We had what happens when The Rock comes back,
yeah.
Which is boring babyface promos. Yay, America.
Yeah.
Beat up a foreign heel mid-card. Mm. Geek of Arabia. Jesus effing Christ. That was Attitude Era feel I was missing. Sure, it wasn't 10 times over their head with a chair brutal, but it's the vibes that I wanted from heel Rock. Actually, don't want 10 times over their head with a chair brutal, even though. You know, it was a good time, though. Punk, Drew, and Seth going back and forth. That was quite fun. We will get to that in a little bit. Edgar Carrasco has been in Benbug for 27 months in a row. Said the episode was amazing. 3 hours flew by. Couldn't unglue my eyes from the final segment. I felt like I did back in the Attitude Era. Cody must win. Lobi Warsaw, the show was great. My biggest talking point from this Raw was that Roman is the weakest link in the feud. I'm even more interested in Seth's part. Cody's promo sold the solo match better alone than he did with Roman.
Mm.
Liam Leonard, who's been a member for 31 months in a row. It's his birthday as well. It's nice to see when these non-PG segments happen rarely so it doesn't become overused. Going to enjoy my birthday today to rewatch this 100 times. Moose said, this felt a lot like a go-home show. Now I'm wondering how Triple H is going to follow up with next week's Raw and next week's SmackDown. It just sucks with these big shows. It just sucks when these big shows decide that when you need to find time, they do it by cutting down the women's match.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Baxter, in the SmackDown review comments, I said that Cody needed to find a way to get under Roman's skin so that for the go-home show Raw, Roman attacks Cody. I no longer think it is needed after what Rock did. Literally, bloody hell, awesome closer to the show.
I definitely think you need to see... I would love them to go off the air brawling on that final Friday.
It's what you want.
And in my head, it's JR's voice. Obviously, it quite legally can't be this time, but literally it was never going to be. But like the idea of them fully having a brawl off the air. I also, it's the disheveled nature. That's what I think I said this on After Dark. My favorite match one of my favorite matches ever is Bayley and Sasha. And the reason that the TakeOver one in Brooklyn supersedes the follow-up, the Iron Woman match, is because at the end of it she's holding that belt and she's won it and she's disheveled and her hair's all over the place and she's just like, you know, that's what I imagine when I imagine a wrestler winning a championship.
Yeah,
it feeling like I have scaled to the top of this mountain. And I think I'm and seeing Cody bloody last night showed me that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I wanted to bleed like mad on that Sunday.
Oh. It's my favorite WWE match of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley versus Banks. Outside of the hardcore triple threat, of course. Justin
with Big Show and Raven.
Yeah, like that's my favorite WWE match of all time.
But... Oh, I thought you were doing a bit because it was Raven, but you mean that literally?
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it's my favorite WWE match of all time.
Perfect.
And second to that, and probably maybe actually above it, I did say to Bayley that it was. Is Bayley Banks at Brooklyn. Justin here said, excited to send my first Ultra Chat. Could Rock's beatdown of Cody create some tension between Roman and The Rock? Roman doesn't like it when blood members deviate from his plan. Seemed on SmackDown, Roman's going for more a more psychological warfare.
I definitely think the way you keep this going is to give Roman step to The Rock. You remember when he hit the hand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another one of those, please.
Jonathan Cantrez has been a member for 6 months in a row. Did you guys notice the truck in the background with Cena and Austin? A tease of what's to come, maybe. Rock's old rivals coming to help Cody on night two. Will Banter here said, can Cody respond to Rock's attack? Does Drew care more about CM Punk than the world title? Did the tribal chief approve the beatdown in Chi-Town? Or did The Rock make the call? Find out on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. R.I.P. Toriyama. I'll get to the Drew thing later, but that was actually one of my favorite things on this show. Jambeard said, been a while since I've Ultra Chatted in live. I watched a lot of the clips on social media from Raw, and I did enjoy them, but I still find it hard to get back and watch WWE TV. I'm enjoying the pay-per-views, but I haven't watched TV in about 2 years. Prediction for Mania is that Cody pins Rock in the tag match because Roman accidentally spears Rock. Rock then costs Roman his title to set up the Tribal Chief match for the next Saudi pay-per-view between Rock and Roman. I'm very much on the train of Bloodline win night one to set up Blood. I think... given the stipulation of Bloodline rules for night two, yeah. I feel like they have to win.
I am too, but I like the fact that I can see an argument like that and go, yeah, that sounds all right. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a nice thing to have. And we have it elsewhere in the show as well when yeah. we get to Sammy and Chad.
Dopey Koala, so what are your thoughts on the possibility of Tama Tonga debuting at WrestleMania? If he did, how would you see him getting involved, whether it be to help Roman or Cody? No disrespect to Tama Tonga. I don't think you don't do a big WrestleMania debut yeah. for Tama Tonga.
I agree.
Because he's not got the name value you would have for Cody Rhodes coming back, or if you debuted Kazuchika Okada.
Like, yeah.
You need that name value for it to be a WrestleMania surprise. Tama Tonga, no disrespect to him, but would just have a lot of, huh?
It would also feel like he would debut, and if he was on the part of Roman or the part of Cody, that's a Raw after Mania or a next phase of the story, the next inning.
Yeah. Kuzu here said, it's incredibly sad how insignificant Roman feels in this entire build despite being the champion. I have to start wondering what's going on with him and why he's taken such a back seat. Great episode, didn't catch it live, but I heard it was amazing.
I feel like the simple answer is just that he's got a limited number of dates.
Yeah, that's it. The last Quincy said, wow, The Rock is showing why he's called the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment and the great one, because he makes everything exciting and memorable whenever he shows up. Just makes me wish The Rock was on SmackDown last Friday, but I think the fact that he wasn't on SmackDown made this even better.
Completely agree.
Absence can make the heart grow fonder.
Mm. I think, and it was a surprise.
But Roman has taken that to the nth degree.
Yeah.
He's taken all of the absence.
Yeah.
But I think actually the restraint of not having Rock on every show, I think, does help when you have The Rock show up on shows like this. Mm. But yeah, honestly, credit to The Rock. You know, the initial reports were that he felt like he needs to come in and save WrestleMania.
I mean, he kind of has.
I really feel like he has, though. Yeah. I really feel like he
just
has
not
saved
in the way he thought he was going to. But that, again, credit for the pivot.
Caleb Cannon, I thought this episode was great and set up WrestleMania beautifully. My thoughts on Roman and Cody is that Cody should have cut his opening promo to Roman on Friday. Would have had more bite. I do it because the champion isn't here. Might have helped the feud. Brian Thomas, biggest issue I have with Roman swearing is on his own auditory sensory processing issue. Watched the Rock concert the other week and I found it unwatchable because of the edits on Hulu.
It is frustrating. When it's the live element of it, of the live, they have the 7 seconds that they just do a period of in Big Brother live streams, these just do Birdsong. It's annoying,
yeah,
which is why I'm like, if you pre-record it, you don't get the same energy, but you could always get a little beep in there for just the word. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
I totally get what you mean as well, because like you're doing it during like Cody's promos, you're doing it during Rock's promos, you're doing it during Punk's promo, and because the crowd do it, you center the crowd as well.
Annoying.
It is quite. I find it very annoying. Justin said, feels like the tag match will be a lot more of Cody versus Rock and Seth versus Roman to save that Cody versus Roman physicality for the match on night two. I'm just hoping we can do tons of overbooking and craziness on both nights. Super hyped to get to be there live.
God, I'm jealous.
And lastly for now, Zoob here said, I'm pretty sure The Rock whispered to Cody, I've just sold myself walking to the ring. I'm going to cut this short. And that's why he didn't cut a promo in the ring. Well, we'll have more from your Ultra Chats later on, but we have got more of this episode of Raw to get into, which we're going to do right now. Michael Cole buried Pat for dressing like the Bloodline. And then we got Jackie interviewing The Rock. And then we had the Judgment Day in their Judgment Den, where they were basically there to have a go at JD McDonagh to do better. And they're putting it all on him to beat Ricochet this week. And Rhea told Dom off for going to SmackDown to interfere in Rey's match.
She specifically said, like, I'd like to have been there. Like, you know, bit communication. I like this Rhea-Dom tenderness that she's doing, rather than just being like, we dominate Monday Night Raw. Which we then got with...
Flawless Australian.
Thank you so much. Which we then got with Damian Priest just being like, we need to tackle the business at hand. I'm like, oh God, not again. Like, come on.
What else do you want from the Judgment Day? This is what they do.
It is what they do.
They handle business.
I can't wait for Judgment Day 3.0.
We did have Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. This match was, it was way better than it needed to be.
Yeah.
And it was kind of there to be an advert for... Here's the thing with Ricochet, is they tell you a lot. Oh, it's the highlight of the night. Oh, man, here comes the highlight of the night. Captain Highlight pew, pew. Of the night. Pew, pew. It's highlight of the night, Ricochet. But no one really cares because there's never been any follow-up to any highlights of the night they've done with Ricochet. Last year was a bit of a, particularly in the summer, of constantly trying to go viral.
Yeah.
Purposefully trying to go viral, and it never actually did. The one viral moment they did get was the one that
organic.
Was the organic one. But when they were trying to make it go viral, it never did. So Ricochet has just been on this... He's just been there.
Yeah.
And he's not really doing anything. But in this last 3 weeks, they've been pushing this idea of like, oh no, he's 2-0 against the Judgment Day. I mean, the B team that everyone beats, but he's 2-0 against the Judgment Day. And here they was looking to go 3-0 against the Judgment Day. But when you have Ricochet on the show and you give him time to just go out there and be Ricochet, he just goes out there and he does his awesome things. Mm. Like, you know, he does the top rope poison rana. He does his springboard 450s. He does Canadian destroyers, which I will always pop for, despite what you say.
Well, I popped for this one.
Yeah, oh, well, someone's changed their tune, haven't they? You were literally on a patron call yesterday saying, I don't want to see a Canadian destroyer again in my life.
And I don't, but Triple H added a zero to my contract. No, I'll tell you why in a minute, but yeah.
And then, you know, the shooting star pressed to a standing JD McDonagh. Like, McDonagh's the perfect person to put in there because he will just bounce around and do his big goofy selling for everything. And, you know, the commentary in particular were going nuts for this match. At one point, Pat McAfee said it's a 6-star match, which, you know, pump the brakes a little bit there, Pat. But this was, like, dead good.
Yeah, I mean, and the not to that point, the nonsense Pat Telestrator thing worked for me in this match because it just felt like he was, like, on that pure adrenaline high, being like, this was so cool, look at this. Look. This match was great. Like the it was really fun. All the moves were really good. The Canadian Destroyer was cool. It felt different to other Canadian Destroyers, and it came out of nowhere. And again, when you use things sparingly, like this is another one of restraint. When you use things like that sparingly, they have more impact than if you're just doing a Canadian Destroyer, standing up, no selling, all the rest of it. I think this is a really great example to illustrate the point that we were making at the beginning about like the balance between storytelling and wrestling. I think the reason Ricochet's not really got over is because they haven't been able to do this as much, right? Hasn't been able to just go out there and have a good match.
Yeah.
Just go out there and do your thing.
They haven't had a story since Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And even then, there was not much of a story.
So they need to inject that story back into it so that it's not just a random spot fest. I liked the random spot fest. I enjoyed it very much. But it is one of those things where I do dink on AEW, and I'm an equal opportunity dinker, for having a, like, Canadian Destroyer Fest or having just a match with some big spots that don't, that make me go, whoa, but don't make me feel anything. Mm. You know, I don't really feel anything for JD McDonagh or Ricochet. So inject a little bit more of that emotion in there. And this kind of match, more of this kind of match on Raw, will probably find that balance between the storyline and the wrestling that we all like.
Yeah, I think one of Triple H's great flaws is following up on momentum.
Yes, agreed.
So I hope that this is one of those ones where let's get some momentum going and let's build to something with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I imagine will happen, which is he'll just won't be on TV for a little while.
Yeah.
Then we had our 20-minute huge in-ring promo segment that was, I mean, you know, you mentioned AEW. This was more AEW than it was a WWE promo segment.
Uh-huh.
Because this didn't feel like it had a script to it whatsoever. I have seen a lot of people say that this was a train wreck of
a
segment. Because it was just everyone talking over everyone and everyone feeling like, I've got to get my line in. But it felt so much more natural because of that. And it was a bit of a hot mess, but it was a captivating hot mess. And CM Punk was the star of it all, with Drew McIntyre being fabulous.
Drew McIntyre was exceptional in this segment. And it's that example of, you know, he's yet another bit for the scrapbook of Drew McIntyre has just gone into a whole other level this year.
So Punk came out to say that he will be at Mania. He's not medically cleared, but he goes down on his wife, so he will be able to use his mouth at WrestleMania.
Carry on, move on as quickly as possible.
You want to move on from this?
I specifically don't. I don't want my dad to start talking to me about
what going down on Tuna Town.
Get on with it.
Better attack.
Go forward.
Is he trying to rattle through how many other Bloodhound gang references
can
I think
Stop
up
it.
In my head? Anyway, so yeah, he made a reference to Cunnilingus in all of this because the Attitude Era is back, everyone.
Not Edge's theme. Just to be clear, the other thing.
Anyway, so he's like, hey, I could do commentary. I could be a guest referee. He made references to he likes Jim Cornette's podcasts because they
went right in my head. I didn't notice
they
that.
Both hate AEW. He teases a match with Roman. He teases a match with Rollins. He kind of takes a shot at The Rock, bringing back one of my favorite Punk promos ever. Of you're gonna find that your arms are too short to box with God.
Right in the camera.
Yeah. And you can see him pointing to the camera as well. It's like, come closer, because this is one of my favorite lines I've ever done. And he then says, I don't live on the internet. Lol.
Yeah, big liar.
Sure, Jan. And out comes Drew McIntyre. And Punk's like, stop the silly music. I don't wanna hear this music. This music's stupid.
It's wrong. It's a banger. I love that music.
And he challenges Drew to get into the ring, or are you just a guy wearing a skirt? And Drew is like, oh, watch out, buddy. You might get yourself canceled for talk like that. You don't want to be a homophobe now. And Punk was like, yeah, he's got a point there. And Drew has this awesome line where he's like, Punk, you don't drink or do drugs, which is funny because you spend an awful lot of time in rehab.
Oh, what a line.
Great, great line. Does the Punk sit down? Tells the cameraman out to film him again, you big perv. And then Punk just kept talking over everything he was saying to get in the ring and he's like, Drew then was like, I'm not gonna get in the ring, I'm not an idiot, you'll just attack me with a weapon, I know you've got one. And then he says, like, what you forget, Punk, is that I was the chosen one around here. And he starts talking about this, and then Punk talks over him and was like, who gave you that nickname? I dare you to say who gave you that nickname. And Drew doesn't,
yeah,
which I think was probably a wise move. And he says that Punk would be a great guest commentator out here because then he can be ringside to see me live out his dream from the best seat that he possibly can. And the referees start chanting for him to be the referee. Rollins comes out at this point as well, and he's like, hey, you guys don't get to make decisions about a world title match, particularly when you're not even involved in it. And I don't think you can be the referee because your arm's busted. So Punk, again, just off ad-libbing, just drops down. He's just like, yeah, I can do it.
I've got another hand.
I can do it. Although I don't think I'd be impartial but with you two dipshits.
Yeah. And then that line was good.
And he proper giggled to himself because he was like, I'm just having fun.
Well, that was it, because there was a moment where it felt like I was like, well, you're just undermining what Seth has said. But then when you point out, no, I could do it, but I would suck at that. It's like, yeah, that's bringing it back, the balance.
Yeah, I still think it undermines Seth somewhat. Yeah, yeah. But Punk,
the whole thing undermines.
But that's the thing. It's like this segment really undermined this world title match. But apart from one moment, which I'll get to in a moment, because Punk then said, honestly, you need me for this. You need me to have a WrestleMania moment, because without me, this match does not mean a great deal. So do you know what? I will go and do commentary, and I'm going to do something that neither of you two can do. I'm going to make you feel important. And I'm going to make you feel interesting. And he's like, you know, Punk out, drops the microphone. His music starts playing. And this is where all the other stuff is great. You know, Punk making his reference to going down, the Drew's line, some of Seth's stuff. All of that was lovely. All the talking over each other stuff was very, very fun. Like Punk just having a laugh. That's all very good. But here is where I think the killer moment of this segment is. For weeks, Drew has been having a go at Seth for not focusing on this world title match and being focused on the bloodline. You need to be paying attention to me. I'm the threat to your world title. You need to be focused on me. And in this segment, Drew gets so angry at CM Punk ending that he storms into the ring and starts yelling at production to cut his music. He can't have the final word in this segment. I'm going to have the final word in this segment. He takes his eye off of Seth Rollins. Seth super kicks him and lays him out with a stomp. I thought that was a wonderful, excellent bit of storytelling to what is actually what this segment was designed to do. I thought it was wonderful for that. all the other, the 19 and a half minutes that came before it were joyously entertaining. That, for me, was the best bit of the segment.
Yeah, I mean, we said last week that I'm more interested in their individual programs that aren't with each other than I am with Seth versus Drew.
Yeah.
And this was a really nice way of bringing those things together and reminding us that it is a unified thing. I have to put aside my thing about, like, I really hate it when people talk over each other. I really hate it. It's improv, and in improv, everyone wants to get the line in and everyone wants to be the one to have the laugh. And I've got a good joke, I'm going to say it. And it starts to feel like a mess. From a performer perspective, I hate that. You need to know when to step back. But also, it added something else to the segment as well. So I need to check that part of me and see, recognize this segment for what it was, which was just chaos, beautiful, yeah, messy chaos. I thought Drew's line about "You're my muse" was so, yeah, like the idea that I get off on the damage that I'm causing you internally.
Yeah,
that's what drives me. Loved that. Loved, as you say, the closing part where McIntyre's story really has been him learning to not have patience and just lean in and just do it and just take advantage of things. And there he did it. Yeah. Like, you know, and it came back to bite him again. Will that be, is that a precursor to Seth retaining? Is that McIntyre, I'm not going to make that mistake again because I did it. I got distracted by Punk. Punk's going to be out there. Is McIntyre going to be distracted by Punk enough for Seth to be able to take advantage and retain? Is, you know, that, and what's fascinating is I have thought, oh, McIntyre's winning for a long time. And now there's a flicker of doubt, which is another example throughout this whole show of me not actually knowing how certain of these matches are going to turn out at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I think that is wildly to their credit.
Yeah, I think that is the success of this segment.
Yeah.
You know, was it entertaining? Absolutely. Was it a train wreck? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it also served a purpose. I get what you mean about the talking over people thing. So I think that's what some people didn't like about the Eddie Punk promo,
yes,
segment.
Yeah.
Which is one of my, like, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't feature it in the TLC of top 10 promos because it was a back and forth,
yeah,
as opposed to a singular promo. But it's one of my favorite segments that AEW have ever done.
Kingston and Punk are the worst for that. They both like to.
Yeah. But you say it's the worst for it, but I think they're the best for it because that's what I
mean,
like.
They're the worst at doing that, which to you makes them the best at doing promos.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it just feels real.
Yeah.
You sort of talk from a performance perspective, from a viewer's perspective, I hate you say your bit, then
yeah,
I say my bit, and then you say your bit, then I say my bit.
Because again, there's a middle ground.
There is a middle ground to that, and I don't think that this segment had that, and I don't think the Eddie Punk segment had that either. But I think there can be a middle ground. But I think, like, Copeland's been quite bad for that in AEW, where he's not quite found the middle ground to that.
He's got too much freedom.
He's got too much freedom.
Yeah.
But I had a great time with this promo segment.
It was spicy. It made me nervous. It's the magic again. It's all that magic. And I guess it's another example of that restraint. It's we don't get segments like this all the time, which make them feel even more intense when we get them.
And look, I'm sure I will take some heat for this. There's few needed Punk.
I agree. I have enjoyed Seth and Drew separately.
Yeah.
This brought them together.
That's it. I mean, and the only reason I think that this feud needed Punk is kind of based on the promo segment we had last week, which was a promo segment that was kind of like the Cody Roman one, which is, oh, you've added nothing new to this feud. This has added something new to this feud.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, I've been interested in Drew winning and Seth taking on the bloodline. Now I'm interested in seeing Drew versus Seth with Punk on commentary.
Mm-hmm. This is the moment where I pivot and put on my woke hat. So I will just dink.
Dan's woke rant.
I'll just dink two tiny things, which is the skirt line. That's past it. We're past that. And also,
we're clearly not.
I know. We aren't, but we should be. It's always my point.
It's like the eighth time it's happened on the WWE show in the last three weeks.
I just find it cringe, lads. I don't know what to tell you. And then he was like rattling off a list of things about Seth Rollins, and then went, "Your wife." And I'm like, we saw a more effective version of the meta we know about your family life thing in Becky's segment later on. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I know Becky Lynch is his wife. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't make me feel like, whoa.
Yeah, but she's a woman.
She certainly is that.
What are you going to do about that then?
Well,
Seth?
I mean, egg on my face.
Hey, you're married to a woman. What are you, gay?
It is that. That's what annoys me. What are we doing? Oh, Jesus.
Right, I mean, we might get a bit more of Dan's Book Rant. Because that segment clearly went long. Because Candice LeRae and Ivy Nile, I think they were always just going to have a 2-minute match if it was that. But there were zero entrances and a rather heatless match. But Candice LeRae won. I thought this was set out quite nicely.
Yeah.
She was constantly distracting the referee to get Indy to cheat and to attack Ivy Nile on the outside. But Indy Hartwell wasn't doing it.
She ain't doing it.
So in the end, Candice faked a knee injury and then she used that to get advantage, sort of got her feet on the rope.
She was pushing the bottom rope to give her a bit more leverage. I kind of saw that.
And she won, and then she celebrated like she'd won a world title while Indy Hartwell was a bit perplexed by the whole
thing. Yeah, she was not. This was, rather than what we've seen the past couple of weeks of Indy Hartwell, oblivious idiot, we got Indy Hartwell a little bit cross, actually. And I was like, that's a nice development for Indy's character as well. Again, this feud is wrong. It's being done in the wrong order. It's very peculiar to me. I like it for them. But the selling of it is weird, and the selling of it is hampered massively when you look at your show and you think, what's the one thing really we can cut down? And it's this. If they're going to go out there and they're going to have a grand total of 2 minutes screen time, I get that there are always comments whenever we bring this up. By the way, this was the only women's match on the show. When we get, when we talk about this and we get people being like, it should be a meritocracy, it's about the people who are most over, it's about the best, the people being the best should be there. Well, I'm afraid the world isn't a meritocracy, all right? That's not how it works. And also, if they're not given time to get it over, how are we supposed to care? So when you look at a scene like this, and we have had this repeatedly over the past few weeks, The Rock goes long sometimes. Punk and Seth were going to go long sometimes. When that happens, and you then look at your run sheet, and you're like, okay, well, where do we cut time? Their first thought is to go down to this one because they think this one is the least important on the whole show. And arguably it is the least important on the home show. My personal take is we didn't need that Andrade match later on. You disagree with that. And we'll talk about that when we get there.
I wouldn't say it's a strong disagree.
Right. But
I don't even know if I have a strong feeling on it. But
but if you're gonna look at it and say it's the least important, you're going to cut time from it. The reason you think it's least important is because you as the booker have made it less important because you don't treat it with the importance you do with the other things on your show. It's all about balance. And when we're pushing for a little road to equality, you need to counterbalance sometimes. Sorry, Andrade, I'm sacrificing your match and I'm sacrificing this particular week of your development. We're going to push it back one more week because we're trying to do something over here with this division. Ultimately, the book stops with the bookers.
Yeah.
Right?
And development's a strong word there with the Andrade thing.
Yes. No, completely. Yeah, yeah. But like, I'm trying to get in there.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. But like, this is the argument I was making about Tegan Knox when they were trying to like build Tegan Knox up.
Yeah,
and it was
exactly.
Like, we just, you know, she has 30 second matches. And it was like, well, care about her now. It's like, we're not going to care about her in with these short space of time. And then what happened when she had her title match? No one cares.
DIY. Johnny Gargano.
Yeah. It was like, it took them much longer to do than it needed to get them over on the main roster.
Because they were just not using their time properly.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing with Candice here. It is a lower mid-card thing, so it doesn't need 20 minutes of TV time, but I think it needed perhaps more than the 2 minutes.
You're also doing something interesting with this character here. So at some point, it won't be a mid-card thing. So invest the time here, and you'll be thankful for it later on.
We had DIY and New Day having an argument backstage about WrestleMania. Awesome Truth walked up to say they're going to be on commentary for their match, with Truth thinking that Pat McAfee is JBL. Then we had New Day versus DIY. Also, no entrances for this because things have gone wrong. Things have gone long, rather. And then Judgment Day came out and caused the DQ. I was quite enjoying it up until that point.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fun at WrestleMania.
But this is... So this storyline, this WrestleMania tag storyline, has had a whopping 12 people added to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the central core of it is still Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what it eventually will boil down to at WrestleMania. And that is what this segment boiled down to here. DIY and New Day didn't really matter a jot. Really, neither did The Miz. This is actually, it's less Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth. It's Judgment Day versus R-Truth. But it was R-Truth was the one that sort of almost stood toward the end. He fought off all of the Judgment Day, but Damian Priest was the one that laid him out. I'm just going to boil that down again. It's less Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth, and it's actually Damian Priest versus R-Truth.
Yes, that's it. I think we need to split these tag belts up post-haste, because I think in an ideal world, you have a Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth and then a six-pack ladder match for the other belts, like somewhere else. Yep. I think that the show, there are two women's belts, two mid-card belts, two world title belts, one set of tag belts, and I think the show is suffering as a result of it. So maybe this is the moment where it happens. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm excited to watch the match, but my excitement to see R-Truth win the tag belts has gone down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they've muddied it by adding so many tag teams.
Yeah, it's changed the game.
It has a little bit. It's kind of taken away the focus of what it was supposed to be, which was Judgment Day and in particular Damian Priest. If I'm going to give my wild prediction, I think Priest is walking out of WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion. Either that or on the Raw after Mania, the Ram.
Rad Ram.
Yeah, and you are going to do Priest versus Truth for the world title.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe not at a pay-per-view, but main eventing an episode of Raw.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see it for Priest for a while. I don't know.
We haven't got long left, bud. His contract expires soon.
In July.
Money in the bank, I should say.
His contract expires in July.
That's still 3 months away.
Yeah, but I don't buy anything from him now.
Well, no, but that's on the booking, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
Kathy, who apparently was dressed as Elektra. Like, that was a hell of an outfit that she was wearing.
It was
today.
The red, and then she had, yeah, I mean, she looked great.
She looked great. It's just the way she showed up, I was like, oh, Elektra's here. She interviewed Gunther, who is all smiles. And Gunther said, yeah, I think Sammy's words are empty. I don't think he can beat me. Further to that, I don't think he'd beat Bronson Reed either.
Mm, that was nice.
Boy, was he right. Andrade then beat Giovanni Vinci. This was supposed to be versus Ivar, but Ivar could not be medically cleared. Fightful Slate reporting it doesn't need to be anything serious. It's just going to be out of action for a couple of weeks.
And like, this is the one where I'm like, take this away, because this was just a match to take place. Like, they slotted Ivar out and put Vinci in, and it made no difference to what the match was going to be. I think this could wait a week.
Look, the only straw man argument that I can provide to here as to why this is on the show is that without this, Andrade just has not been on TV.
Yeah.
Like, that is the only argument I can provide to have this match happen.
Yeah.
And it's not a good argument.
Yeah.
We then had the Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch promo segment. Rhea Ripley was, they kind of talked a little bit about the viral clip from the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know the one.
I do know the one.
And Rhea says, like, that Becky should be giving her full attention when it comes to this world title. So Becky comes out and she has a go at Rhea Ripley for not wrestling anymore. Like, you don't wrestle on TV these days. And Rhea's like, well, why do I need to? Like, I can post a picture of my ass on the internet and like the crowd go nuts for it. So I don't need to wrestle. And Becky's like, that's not what being a champion is. Being a champion is being in this ring. It is busting your ass. It is doing things for these people in attendance. And Becky, I liked her line, is like, you're not experienced enough to be a falling star, in terms of like this. Becky Lynch is like, you've been to the top and then you've fallen down, now you're trying to climb back up. And Becky's point is like, you haven't even had the first fall, so you do not know what it's like, which means you don't know what it's like to be me getting back to the top. And Rhea's like, well, do you know what you are? You're a cockroach. You're hard to kill, but it's not impossible. And once WrestleMania is done, I'm going to injure you so badly that your little girl is going to call me Mammy. It's cheap heat. Like, it's cheap heat stuff. We've done this with Becky's. I feel like since Becky's had the kid, every promo that someone's had against her is like, I've heard you've got a kid. Mm. And here's what's going to happen to that kid. But I thought Becky's response to this was fabulous. Because it wasn't, how dare you take my daughter's name out of your mouth. Da-da-da-da. She was like, that's your one.
Yeah.
Everyone gets one because everyone does it. But if you do it again, we're going to have serious words. And she goes a very impassioned promo about her father not being around to see her be a mother. And she's got like tears in her eyes. Yeah, like, her voice is very croaking up here. And she's like, you know, all of this may be a joke to you. That was a funny joke, but it may be a joke to you. And she taps the time and is like, this is not a joke to me. And she was like, you won't attack me out of respect. You say you won't attack me out of respect, but there's nothing respectful about you. She punches Dom in the face. And her and Becky, Rhea and Becky then have a little brawl, pull-apart brawl. I thought it was a very, very a good segment that was needed for this feud, because Becky has just been distracted a little bit with Nia Jax and Liv Morgan. I think we needed this promo segment to remind everyone, no, this is the match that's happening at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and also, they've not been on SmackDown in the way that the other, you know, big storyline has been. So they've really only had Raw, and thus we really only have one more show before their match. I personally feel like you can be a person who posts a picture of their ass on the internet and be a champion. I think you can have both. That's my belief. Look, they are not mutually exclusive.
We all know the photo that's in Becky's book.
Yeah, which I have now got a copy of, and I'm looking forward to read it. Thank you very much for leading me on to what I was about to say next, which is that as a massive fan of Becky, I really buy into her story. And I think that's a part of her story, real life story, that, you know, that I left the wrestling industry, I had a crisis of confidence, and I went away and I was an air steward for a while. And then I was on Vikings, and then Edge was the one who said, why don't you give her a little tryout? And then came back and forced her way into being one of the first three women to main event at WrestleMania, when that was never going to be the promise. It was always supposed to be Charlotte and Ronda. One of the things that we now know from Ronda Rousey that she regrets is that she never got to have that singles match with Becky, which, like, whatever you feel about Ronda Rousey, and I have very many feelings about Ronda Rousey, that is an endorsement.
And she's also right as well. Like, that should have been the main event of WrestleMania 35.
It should have.
But they shoehorned Charlotte into it.
Because Vince had promised Charlotte.
Well, because the match they actually wanted to do was Charlotte versus Ronda. Like, that's what they wanted to be, the first main event of WrestleMania, but the crowd wanted something different. So WWE cut their notes off to spite their face.
And so while Becky has the energy of someone who's always pushed, is constantly pushed, is maybe overpushed, I never feel that way with her, because I know from my fandom, I suppose, how much of a fighter she is, how the sacrifices she's made. So when she talks then about her dad, in the same way that, like, Drew had that moment where he was talking about sacrifices with my family and connected with Seth over Becky, and that was the example of bringing the wife into the story when it makes sense, bringing the family into this story in a way that it made sense. We also I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I think it's quite rare that we see someone beloved to us as fans go away and have a kid and then come back. That's another reason that it feels like it's something that you can bring up here. Like, not only come back, but come back on this top level. Alexa Bliss is currently talking about wanting to get back to ring fitness. Carmella is as well. We're in a different era of women's wrestling than we were. Women were treated by the powers that be how the powers that be saw women. Just boobs on sticks that they can pass around. You can't grab that diva's for me, kind of thing. And they would just put them on television and treat them as objects and then go away. And then they'd get to 35 and then they'd go away, kind of thing.
There's only so far you can get with training fitness models to be wrestlers.
Becky is light years younger than, like, you know, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, even. Like, she's got so much more in the tank. I think of Mickie James as someone who's got so much more in the tank as well. Like, I think we're seeing Natalia is in the best shape of her career. And I know I go on about Natalia a lot. I know it's a meme, but she is.
Dan's Natalia segment.
I love it. I think it's a really interesting time to... she's a really interesting figure in this time of wrestling, women wrestling. Asuka's a mother. We didn't have Asuka and then lose Asuka to maternity leave. What a weird way. I mean, I hate children, so I suppose it is parasites. But do you know what I'm saying? We don't see them go away and come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Men have babies all the time, not physically, but men have children. The male wrestlers have had children, but they don't take paternity leave.
No.
It's a very different experience.
Because we don't get it.
And also the thing that they do with their bodies when they carry a child and have a child is unreal to me. To then get back to a level of fitness where you can throw yourself around a wrestling ring in the way that Becky Lynch has been for the past 4 years, unreal. So I thought this is a prime example of, again, using things wisely to make more of an impact. I loved this segment. I almost wish they hadn't got come to blows. Coming to blows was great. I just wish that Rhea had run away a little bit and Becky emphasized her point by really beating down on Dom. I wanted to see Dom get his ass handed to him.
What I liked about the segment the most is it was Rhea Ripley's realization that this is not a standard wrestling feud.
Yes.
Because she had her one line about the kid where she's just like, and mommy will always be like, I've got to say my catchphrase, and yeah, your kid's gonna call me mommy. And then Becky, like, responds with the way that she does, and Rhea's got this look on her face that was like, uh-oh,
yeah,
that's
whoopsie pupsie,
that's not what this feud is, that's not what this match is. This match is about a lot more. I've got to start taking this seriously, because she almost hasn't been, because she's had this argument that Becky's not taking this seriously, because she's got her mind focused on Nia Jax and Liv Morgan and this, that, and the other. So I thought that was a really interesting part to this.
I did too.
And here's, like, the pretty much the last thing we get to talk about here. But I like the direction that we're going here. I wish this had happened 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
So what we had was Sammy was walking backstage and he was chatting with Chad Gable to like build off from the argument that they'd had last week. And he was like, you know, I'm gonna give you some advice. Here's some advice that you can take. And Sammy's like, yeah, cool. Thank you for the advice. And he's like, I think here as well, I would say there's one slight problem with this segment is that it's Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. And Gunther had said earlier in the night, I don't think Sami Zayn can beat Bronson Reed. And then they're like, man, this Bronson Reed's a tough test for Sami. And then they come up in the lower third and it's like, beat Bronson Reed 2 weeks ago.
That's an own goal.
Yeah, isn't that?
That's though? An own goal.
Like, if you're trying to make this feel like it's an uphill challenge for Sami Zayn, don't put him against someone he beat 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
That is mad.
Yeah. So, I've written here.
Or at the very least, don't tell us.
Yeah, I've literally written here. The story sort of works, but Sami did beat Bronson. So Gunther comes out and he causes a distraction. He doesn't need to get physical in all of this. And Sami does find himself momentarily distracted. But then in his moment, he gets all fired up. He is all set up for the Huluva kick. And he turns to Gunther and he's like, this is you at WrestleMania. And unfortunately, that momentary distraction allowed Bronson Reed to take over. And Bronson hit the tsunami. And he got the win. Sami was in his own head. And Sami was then freaking out backstage. He was so annoyed. And Chad comes up and he's like, look, I know exactly what Gunther did. I know exactly what happened out there. I am to blame for this. He got into my head and I allowed him to get into my head. And Chad was like, and this is what I'm talking about. It is not just a physical game with Gunther. It is a mental game. If you cannot beat him mentally, you will not be able to beat him. And if you're willing to change, I can help you. So we're now setting up Chad to be the trainer for Sami Zayn, which is why I wish this had happened 3 weeks ago. So we could have developed this. We've only got one show to develop this Sami Zayn and Chad Gable
relationship.
If this happened 3 weeks ago, we could have even had a few matches where Sami is wrestling with Chad in his corner as his trainer.
Or Sammy's wrestling with Chad. Sami versus Chad in a training match.
In a training match. Or like some video montages and things like that. Like
I mean, think... hell, it's Rocky.
Specifically, it's Rocky too.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, I don't know which training. I know the bit where he runs up the steps. Sammy's running up those steps. We all thought it was going to be Cody. Sammy's running up those steps.
Someone had a proper go at me last week because I was like, well, I feel like Sammy's going to win because they told us that this is Rocky 2. And it was like, Luke's really going on about this Rocky 2 thing. I was like, that's because that's what WWE said. Like, it's not my fault that WWE have set up that's what the story is. That's not on me. Mm. But I think this is a really, really good story.
You just wish it had been sooner.
I just wish it had happened sooner.
I completely agree. I'm so into this idea. I almost forgot we're only getting 1 week of it. I was like, oh,
yeah.
We'll get a couple of weeks of this business and the training thing to get him ready for Gunther. Now, you know, there was all that talk of Sly Stallone getting involved. In my head, he does the Mark Wahlberg thing, or the Kevin Hart thing, has the intro bit at the beginning where he's like, hey, this is going to be great, everybody. It's WrestleMania in Philly. That's my Sly impression.
Flawless.
Thank you so much. This is why I didn't get to drama school. So I really...
You're an actor, right?
Let's be honest. I'm an actor in the same way that... That's too shady. I'll tell you. The idea of Sammy like not taking... Okay, right. Running over time. I've come around to the idea of Sammy winning the belt. I initially didn't think it was even possible, but this kind of gave me the idea that, well, actually, maybe they will. And then there's a storyline thing go afterwards, which is why Gable's like, congratulations, you did it. I helped you. Can I have a shot? And Sammy's like, oh, I'm not ready yet, kind of thing. Oh, go start yourself, kind of thing. I'm into whether or not that might happen. I don't know. Like, Gunther might well retain, and it'd be that whole thing of, I'm Gunther, I'm so great. Like, is that child cry? Yeah, I can't see the screen.
Sorry.
There's a camera in the way.
The camera's in the way. Sorry,
I no-sold your bit. Sorry about it.
We need that revenge.
Yeah. But I also just love the idea of... watching WrestleMania and Sami Zayn, who wrestles with his heart and his throat, like he wrestles with PWG style, you know, has these high spot moments, busts out a couple of Mac classics, like gives a German in the way that he doesn't, like, does a chaos theory, has an ankle lock on, like, you know, Chad Gable, who we know is this mastermind of pro wrestling, and I've seen it in matches with Gunther, I've seen it in matches with Ivar, I've seen it in matches with Akira Tozawa. Like, there's a reason he's Coach Gable, teaches Sammy a few tricks, Sammy is then able to get the win because of the Gable method, or it's still too much and Sammy didn't think with his head and unfortunately Gunther got the win. The fact that I don't know the answer to that is to its credit.
Well, anyway, I thought this was a perfect 5 out of 5
show. Yeah, it was outstanding. It
was
thumbs up.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I thought this was an awesome, awesome episode of Raw. Hats off to everyone involved. And yeah, I thought it was so, so great. But anyway, we've got to have the remainder of your chats. We have a poll up in the live chat at the moment. Let us know what you thought of the show. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Johnny All In said, please clarify something for me. I don't watch Raw on a regular basis. Is the fact that Priest still has the briefcase guarantee a cash in at Mania? As I was under the assumption that the holder had until then to cash in. Steinemath is the best promo. He's got until Money in the Bank.
There's a year-long contract. I think the way you're getting confused is that it used to be worn at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
So you had a year.
Yeah, so he still has time post-WrestleMania, which, you know, hey, maybe they'll just keep weighing. Maybe he'll cash it in at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Matt Hennessy said, the show rocked. It really shows how stacked WWE is right now. You have your main eventers in Seth, Cody, Punk, Drew, Jay, and Rock. And you have main event fighting talent in the IC tag title and the IC and tag titles like Gunther, Zayn, Judgment Day, plus Chad and Reed are being set up as future challengers for the IC title post-main. Mania. Then you have a stacked tag division with established teams like New Day and Awesome Truth. Established is a strong word for Awesome Truth. Plus you have teams like DIY that has been established and are having a great run now. Like the character work and the heel work with Canister Ray, it's really clicking. Rhea and Becky had an awesome promo and Jade and seems motivated. Credits with the sound and Triple H, this is awesome. Mm. Victoria says, great Raw, Ricochet the King. Love seeing my prince in action. CM Punk should have followed up on his Instagram post and kissed Cody Rhodes. Started watching AEW recently and the big boy smooching is great. Not WWE related, but Hangman and Swerve should maybe lock lips.
You're hornier than I am. just a quick
need more
one.
Kissing in wrestling.
Hard agree. The Puma line they keep doing.
Yeah.
Do you think they know that they're making a reference or not?
Oh, yes. It is very much intentional.
I don't think Pat McAfee knows.
I think
Michael Cole does.
I gotta think. I don't think Pat's that thick. Pat McAfee made a Petey Williams reference.
Well, okay, there you go.
So maybe.
But he didn't know who Jordan Grace was.
Well, she's a woman, so you know.
Sorry. Oh, it's 4:23, everybody.
Samuel Raja here said, afternoon, Luke and Dan. The last line of Becky's promo was, we won't be the same after our match at Mania. Does that elude a double turn? Good team. Hard to turn Becky heel after that promo.
I mean, that's it. But that's another thing. It heated her back up again in a way that maybe you go like, oh, maybe she'll win it. And like,
yeah.
I'd kind of come around to Rhea's too hot to take the belt off her, but maybe she's not. And I do want to see a more competitive women's division.
Yeah.
And Rhea isn't going to give it to us. So,
Garrick Vaughan said, outside of the hottest topic, I feel like Shinsuke is being treated like poor Bray RIP.
You go. Cool, well-designed promos, but no wins to show for all the threats. Finally, fans coming to Philly should check out the Mark Out Club, a Philly-based wrestling group. The Mark Out Club, shout out. I just shout out things and hope that they aren't secretly very toxic. But yeah, and I know what you're saying there. And I did think that. It's like, oh, well, here's Nakamura. He's not going to lose. Oh, he's not going to win, rather.
I've proper sneeze got caught in my nose there. I think it's gone now.
That's devastating. I really hate when that happens.
Goose Egg here said, I'm feeling that Seth is the fourth most important one in the Night 1 tag match and the third most in his world title match, which is one-on-one. Punk and Drew, I feel like having a better program. What do you think?
Kind of, yeah. Although I really feel like he's the third most important in the tag match.
Yeah.
Roman's gone down a peg.
I would agree with that. He's third most in the tag match and he's third most in the world title match. Space Viking said, WWE successfully building to three matches not on Mania. Cody versus Rock, Punk versus Drew, and Punk versus Seth.
But the thing is, and that was the other thing with Punk rattling off all those people, we've got time when his arm's bare.
Oh, we sure have. Well, hope anyway, haven't you?
Because he made a glass. Real glass.
Cry me a river, mate. Aaron Hanrahan, look, I'm here is all I'm after. I just want to see a lengthy run.
Yeah, me too.
I just want to see him have a lengthy run.
Hope that PC works out for him.
It's just I've had enough of my stop-start Punk.
Yeah.
I need full-on Punk. That's what that is what I'm hopeful for.
This time for next Mania.
That is what I'm hopeful for in 2024 when he comes back, is we could just get healthy, happy punk.
Yeah.
We've got happy punk.
Yes, you saw that in spades,
oh,
I think.
Oh, absolutely. I've said this on the show before, but man, leaving AEW was the best thing that boy could have done because he looks happy. Mm. He looks healthy in of himself, arm notwithstanding. Mm. So I want a long punk run.
Agreed.
Aaron Hanrahan said, sometimes you forget why you love wrestling, and then you see a show that you'll never forget, and you say, this is why. Say his name if you have the balls. Holy S, that's why CM Punk is the best. This feels like the road to WrestleMania. I'll be there. Can't wait. Kevin said, Sammy is one of my favorite character workers. When we say wins and losses matter, it's not just for momentum, but also because of how winning and losing affects Sammy. He makes everything he does important. He's amazing, and he has that lovable puppy face. Sammy is one of my favorite character workers. Oh, that's the same thing. But yeah, I agree, Kevin. Not actually, Tesco has been in Memberg for 14 months in a row. Say, great balls of fire. What a program. Not the pay-per-view of the same name, but last night's Raw was the best in a while. Alpha Academy, 4444, life. Gale Force 5 said, hi, guys. I feel like the Candace segments are all out of order. That's what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
The initial segment should have been either this week or next, and today's segment should have been last week. Doesn't help that her matches have become squashes to save time.
The flip the first and third week.
Rocky 5, but actually good.
I haven't seen any of them.
What?
I've seen Creed 3.
Oh.
that's the only one I've seen.
And that's the one no one can really talk about anymore.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa, mama. Very much in the mania mood now. Last night's expert display. Dwayne had finally won me over here, and I think you two's explanation of restraint is spot on. I'd say that was more Dan than it was myself.
So would I, actually.
Credit to Dan there. Now all we need is Tegan Nox for the Women's Championship, baby.
Not going to get a fight from me.
Nope. Stephen Miller said, didn't get to watch last night, saw the highlights, and boy howdy if they brought me background on The Rock's involvement. I'm also unsure what unhinged pipe bomb thing Ollie has planned for tomorrow, but Steinemath is more iconic. Keep up the great work. I agree. Booking Like a Mark said, I get fans wanting an Avengers-style conclusion to WrestleMania, but I'd rather see it like WrestleMania X. Bret was focused on Owen, but his big moment was defeating the man who screwed him over the year before. Nobody interfered. They just came out to celebrate.
I do want that picture of Cody on their shoulders there.
Yeah. Jam Beard has been a member for 28 months in a row, said, one question about the tag match. Will Rock actually be good in it? Because his last few matches have not been good. I do trust the other three men.
That's the point.
That's the point of a tag match. You can hide.
Hey, Snooki got hidden in the tag match.
That's it. It's not really just Rock and Cody versus... it's not just Seth and Cody versus Rock and Roman. It's actually Cody, Seth, and Smoke versus Rock, Roman, and Mirrors.
Yes.
Like, that is where the magic of this match will come.
Whoa! Sunny Smoke and Mirrors.
Quote the Raven 79 said, my sister has a saying, a woman ceases to be a woman once she closes her fist. I think Dom needs to be physically involved in Rhea versus Becky. The double standard that men can't attack women, but women can attack men, it's kind of hypocritical. Your thoughts? Thank you, New Day, for finally saying, your name is DIY, but there are two of you. That doesn't make sense. I've been saying that for years. Do you know what? Quote the Raven 79, you got my ultra chat of the day. It's like that line from Airheads. The Lone Rangers, there's three of you. You're not exactly lone.
It is a very good point.
Shouldn't you be the three Rangers?
And then, but I also quite like the response of like, but you're not new. You've been around for a long time. Surely that makes you the day. Like, I don't... that punch from Becky to... I could do with one of those. My jaw clicks all the time. I feel like it would knock me back into shape. I'd love to see specifically Dominic Mysterio versus Becky Lynch. I do think the winds of change are there. Now that wrestling is more athletic, I'd like to see a little bit of intergender spicing it up a little bit. Back in the day, I can understand why the women wrestlers were not, they were like fitness models or whatever, and it was a lot punch kick. I'm into a bit more.
Yeah. Red Eye, Cody is slowly turning heel for me. He has three shows before Mania. If he doesn't come out and say, guys, two people have won Royal Rumble, I'm giving the other main event to Bailey, then I'm done. This is from our mod, James. I 1000% agree. I'm sick to death with the bloodline hogging both nights of Mania again. Book the women as the main event too.
I think this is a rare example, though, because normally, you know me, I'm on the same train, but... This is so rare.
Yeah, look, I've said it on this podcast many times over, but I'm going to disagree with Red Eye and with our mod James here. The hottest thing should be the main event.
Yeah.
Last year, the hottest thing was Sammy and KO against the Usos. It's nothing against Rhea and Charlotte. That was a hotter program.
Yeah. The match was great.
The match was great. It was. I'd argue it's actually better than the tank match, but the tank match was the hotter thing.
The emotional.
And it was the emotional match, and it should have been the main event. This should be the main event of the show because it is... And like it's a, you know, it's certainly something to say about Triple H's booking. EO and Bayley doesn't feel like a hot program
anymore.
At the moment.
Yeah, it feels
a while ago. Feels real mid card.
Yeah,
there's something actually. I didn't say this on the SmackDown podcast, but I've. Do you know one of my real tiny gripes I've currently got at the moment? Mm. And this is about the disrespect to Bayley. How is Cody introduced whenever he comes out?
The winner of the 2023 and 2024 Royal Rumble.
How's Bayley introduced when she comes out?
Couldn't tell you.
Bayley. This is like from San Diego, California. Bayley.
She's from San Jose for a start.
Okay, different place. From San Jose, California. It's the same place. From San Jose, California.
They're miles apart.
No, they're not. They're down the road. from San Jose, California.
Point taken, though.
Bayley.
Yeah.
Where's her, the winner of the 2024 Women's Royal
I do
Rumble?
Agree. I also...
It's treated like a mid-card.
But this is the point that it brings me back to what I was saying earlier on, which is... If that's a problem, that's your fault.
Of course it is.
You've got to do better. So
yeah,
this year, this is what's supposed to be the main event.
But at the moment, with Bayley and EO as the example, there are like Seth and Drew now feels like a hotter program than that because of Punk's involvement. Becky and Rhea feels like a hotter program than Bayley and EO. Mm-hmm. So if they were on like either of those nights, like there's three matches that are going to be main eventing over them.
I mean, there's also the idea of the opening match is just as important, but when you've got four titles and four main events in theory. Also, like last year was a tag match main event in WrestleMania for the tag titles. Wow, wild. There is just something of ultimately it comes back to who is given the opportunities. And I agree wholeheartedly that the best story, the most emotional story should be the main event. I also believe wholeheartedly that opportunity is only there for the taking if you're given the chance to take
it. Absolutely, yeah. Roach Senpai said, kayfabe aside, if your boss gets physical with you, doesn't that call for a legal intervention with your supervisor? Your supervisor fought with you and the one that slapped you first with the millions and millions of witnesses?
Oh, it's pro wrestling. Yeah, think about it. That's the joy.
I mean, otherwise the police would be involved. Patrick Eddie said, hey guys, Luke, I'm the person who sent you the cameo about a Punk heel turn. Just wanted to say that I've never been in the camp of people being upset at Punk for returning, but when I see him with that WWE Cubs belt backstage, I did say, what a sound.
yeah
he did look like
corporate punk,
the Make-A-Wish kid who got invited to an episode of Raw. Here's a belt for you, pal. Pika Pig said, hello WrestleTalk, hope you guys have been having a great day, glad to be listening to you guys on mine and Pete's birthday. Also, believe in you, Luke, you can win the Monday Night War. Apparently we got patron shout outs.
Apparently so, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I did actually go and check, but I clearly read the dates wrong. Yeah. My apologies. We'll do patron shout-outs in a little bit. But first, Swifty Whiskey has donated $100.
Thank you so much.
That's so, so kind. Thank you so much. He said, hi, WrestleTalk crew. I just wanted to say thank you for bringing me some joy this morning. I'm currently quarantining with my two-year-old after getting the stomach flu. Oh. So my one-week-old and wife recovering from a C-section don't get sick. Jam that jam, WrestleTalk.
Big sacrifice, but one ultimately very worth it. Yeah. Get better soon. I hope the newborn is okay as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And of course... Mum.
And mum as well, yeah. Good. I mean,
just no-cell mum who's had a C-section. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Best of luck to all four of you. And thank you so much for checking us out today, and thank you so much for joining in the fun. Brian here says, per Ollie, I reached out a couple of weeks ago to support about references for anthropological research, and I'm worried my emails are being filtered as spam because I haven't had anything back. Is there another route to connect about this? It'll be just be in Ollie's long list of things that he needs to do for the day. So don't worry. He will have been sent it. Chris here said, hi guys, great Raw last night, but you know who would make it better? Steiner doing maths or Alexa Bliss returning. And then you could bring her back Ram to build her up for SummerSlam in Ohio, where she'd get a CM Punk level pop if she came back there. Is she from there?
I think so.
Oh, well, that would make sense then. Josh said, hi guys, loving the content, following the channel as usual, especially the TLC videos is my personal favorite. Anyway, quick question regarding after Mania. Likely Cody is winning. Who do you see as a likely competitor for the WWE Championship?
I think it's going to be interesting how things go down, because if Cody is winning that belt, brand split LOL, we are going to have two champions on the same show. So how quick is the draft coming about? If there's going to be one.
Yeah,
and now there are two GMs.
So Sean was talking about this on the Fightful post show. Mm. He said the last time they did a draft earlier in the year, it caused nothing but problems because they drafted people to certain brands, and then Fox were like, we don't want these people, we want those people.
Right.
So they had to sort of then do lots of switching around and moving people back and forth. And USA were like, I don't want these people, I want those people.
Mm.
So it actually makes more sense to do a draft once you've gone to your new networks.
Right.
So once you've gone to Netflix, once you've gone, SmackDown's gone to USA, that's when you kind of do the draft, because that's when you have least political issues to deal with.
Except that's functionally not how the show's going
to
work.
Well, Cody probably just moved to SmackDown.
Well, USA, like, sorry, we want him. I wanted him use that point.
Yeah, but like it's the SmackDown, he's the champion of SmackDown, so he'll just
stop
go there.
The network.
I mean, do you know what Cody will do? Be on both shows.
Yeah.
He's a workaholic. He'll just be on.
But also, then it's not like there's still going to be two networks, because it's going to be USA versus Netflix. So that argument's still going to be there.
No, but the point is that like it's you just wait until you've got everyone on the shows, and then you can do like, okay, who do you want? Who do you guys want? And then you can deal with it.
Right.
And Eddie E has become a member, as has Ash Van Ash, and has Brandon Snyder. Thank you all so much.
Thank you,
Let's have a quick check about these Patreon shoutouts that I did miss. My apologies. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Got loads of great content, including this coming Wednesday. Tomorrow, in fact, WrestleTalk Extra, mine and Ollie's review of 2014's Payback, featuring Blue Tista, is the biggest thing on that show. And an excellent Last Man Standing match with Cena and Wyatt as we look towards the breakup of The Shield, part 3. If you're one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge champions, you get your name read out on the show like these fine folk. Tony Jabroni.
TrevDog316.
Commentator of the Century, Vince Phillips.
Willie Biggie Singleton.
The Lumberjack, XXLogsXX.
The Diamond, Rob Grass.
Top Flight, Jared Martin.
Hannah A. Baby.
Enter Sam, man. Sam Register.
Hello there, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hello there. And the Gaelic Storm, Heather Murphy. Thank you all so much for being our wonderful backers. That is your Hall of Fame class for Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. Let's end this poll. Unsurprisingly, it was quite a popular one.
Goodness gracious.
It is 93% thumbs up with 4% thumbs in the middle. Who pressed thumbs down?
Yeah.
All right, Tony, get out of the chat, will you? Pressing your thumbs down.
Your day's Thursday.
Yeah, come on, bud. You can go into the chat and press your thumbs up then, but don't be pressing thumbs down. Don't ruin our mood here. There's a great result there. 94%. Yeah. All right, that is it, though. That's it for this show. Apologies we've gone that long. It was a big show. Sorry to our moderators. But thank you to all of you that have stuck around and checked this one out. Please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of the show. We will see you on Thursday for the AEW Dynamite review, which is a stacked old card. And I cannot wait. Ospreay versus Takeshita? Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you very much. I'm really, really excited. What's that? It's going to be Swerve. Swerve's in action? Yeah, I'll take that. Very, very excited. We will see you on Thursday. Take care, everyone. I've been Nico and DAD. That has been Dan Layton. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.